So, good morning all. My name's Sach Sharma. I'm here again in the Men's Community Lounge at Istana in the midst of the Preceptors College meeting. This morning I've got Mokshananda with me. Mokshananda lives in Valencia in Spain, is involved with the ordination process both in Spain and Mexico, even Venezuela as well, I think. And also Parami, who lives here at Istana, but used to be chair of the Valencia Buddhist Centre and also visits Mexico regularly. Have you been to Venezuela as well, Parami?
No, I haven't been to Venezuela yet, but I'm planning to visit next year, being well.
Yeah. Perhaps you could tell me a bit about your work, maybe starting with you, Mokshananda.
Yes, yeah, sure. yes, I live in Valencia and sort of responsible for this Spanish-speaking ordination process for men. So we have a small team that works in Spain.
So who does that include?
Well, it's mainly Vajranasa, Amalamati, and Yashodeva, with Rijumati joining us sometimes, and then a few other people who help. And then we also have a team in Mexico, a very good team, with Nagapriya and Vera Siddhi, who both live out in Mexico, and then Salamati, who visits regularly. He used to live out in Mexico, so he visits regularly.
And Nagapriya is in Cuernavaca and Vera Siddhi in Mexico?
In Mexico City, yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, and then as you say, we've also got a group of men in Venezuela who've asked for ordination.
So how many is that?
There's four of them.
Right.
And we have to work out how to do an ordination process for them. They're a very long way away from anywhere, really.
And what are the numbers in Mexico then? How many men who've asked for ordination?
Oh, there's probably about 20.
20. And in Spain?
In Spain, there's about 9 or 10.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's very good. So that's mainly what I'm doing at the moment, trying to work with teams to, give Kalyana Mitra to the men and train them ready for ordination to join our order.
Yeah, so we had Paramabandhu in a few days ago. He was telling us about this 1 month retreat at Guhyalogan in September of next year, which is going to be a dual language retreat. That's the plan, isn't it?
It is the plan.
So you'll be attending at least some of that.
I'll be attending some of that for the public ordination, but we'll have to see first whether there's actually any men invited.
Right, okay. Yeah, still to be confirmed.
Yeah.
And Parami, what about you? Your work in the Spanish-speaking world?
Yeah, so I lived in Valencia for about 12 years or so, and obviously still have very strong links there with the centre. I'm president of the centre, but I've always kept up my work with the women who've asked for ordination. So I'm not able to dedicate myself as full-time as Mokshananda is at the moment because I'm also involved in other areas of the world, as well as my day job as order convener. But the really good news is that we've now got another woman public preceptor working with us in the Spanish speaking world, which is Paramachita, who's here at her first college meeting. Unfortunately, she's got up this morning with a really bad throat and not very well, so otherwise she would have been here on the sofa with Mokshananda and I. So she's been working really intensively with the women who've asked for ordination for years as well. Mm. She's the other women private preceptor at the moment. So the fact that she's become a public preceptor does alleviate, it really kind of helps the work along. So we've got, in Mexico, there's about 30 women actively pursuing their ordination training. In Spain, I think there's 12. And in Venezuela, we think there's 5. The reason why I'm unsure about that is because one or maybe two women have just quite recently asked for ordination in Venezuela. And again, we are trying to think how best we can help those women given the distance and the fact that there isn't a Dhammacharini resident there. But we're hoping that we can find ways that can really support them that.
And are there bridges between sort of Mexico, Venezuela, Spain? Do the mitras who've asked for ordination interact with each other from those countries, come on the same
trip? Yeah, a lot. Yeah, I mean, we certainly, there's quite a few links, personal links between some of the mitras in Mexico and some of the mitras in Spain. We encourage men to go on retreats. For example, the Mexicans, quite a few Mexicans come over on going for refuge retreats in Spain. And quite a few of the people who work, the order members that work in the teams in the ordination process, have strong links and have been on retreats in the other countries, etc. So it's quite a big part of things, actually.
We've got Juan Antonio here at Adistan at the moment from Mexico, and also Olmer from Colombia as well, both Spanish speakers.
And on the women's side, again, really very strong links. I guess the main bridge is Paramecetanai, in that Paramecetanai are preceptors, private or public, for all the women in Mexico who are ordained, and for quite a lot of the women in Spain. There's a few who were ordained earlier, but for anybody ordained in the last, 8-9 years or something, Paramecita is private and I'm public to many of them. But also, we do Spanish-speaking retreats at Tiratnamuka. So for years, mainly Paramecita's done, every other year she's done a group on a Tiratnamuka retreat, which is open to Mexican women and Spanish women. So they get to know each other. We've also got a Facebook page going for refuge women in Spain and Mexico. It's mainly the Mexicans who use it, but some of the Spanish women do read it and add bits and pieces from time to time. So yeah, there are links. I guess the other link is linguistic. The main link is linguistic, of course. And so in terms of translations and things like that, the material, we try and get a coherence between what's been looked at in Mexico and what's been looked at in Spain.
So some of the Dharma training course for Mitras has been translated into Spanish, hasn't it? Is that used in both?
The Mitras circles. Though there's still a lot to be translated, actually.
And Nagapriya, I think, is looking at that at the moment.
Well, Nagapriya is keen on a kind of bit of a revision of the whole Mitra study course in general. But certainly Mitra study has been important for quite a long time, both in Mexico and in Spain. And we're moving towards setting it up properly in Venezuela.
So is there a common sort of translator's pool, as it were, or people working on translation?
There is. There's a lot of people who've worked on translation voluntarily. So it's a bit of a mishmash, and I mean the translation's taken many years, and some of it's very good and some of it's not so good. There's definitely a lot of work to still do on translation in Spanish-speaking world. But Pechamati particularly has been very good in pushing forward translations from Mexico, the team. So we've had a lot of books translated and published.
Yeah, there's a pretty impressive bookshop in the main Buddhist centre in Mexico City, with loads and loads of Bantu stuff translated. Very impressive, actually. On the other hand, sometimes it's quite hard to come to a common understanding of a translation. For example, the refugees, the positive precepts, or the sevenfold puja, are not standardised between the two countries. So, that was quite funny. One of the international council meetings, the one we had in India, the different language groups did the transference of merits at the end of the final puja, and we had, I think, 3 different versions.
And that wasn't Valenciano?
No, Catalan. It wasn't. It was Spanish. It was Castellano, but it was just quite funny because Vajranatha had one from Valencia. I had a sort of mishmash, and Sadhajyoti had one from Mexico. So when we started, we just ended up in fits of giggles, actually, to be honest, because we all had slightly different words and sentence structures and things. I mean, the meaning was obviously the same. We were all very happy to transfer our merits, but our method of transferring them was a bit different, or the language was a bit different.
So what sort of things would you like to see develop in this, ordination training in the Spanish-speaking world? What were your sort of hopes for the next few years in terms of...?
I think mainly it's sort of making the ordination process even more effective. I'm concerned sometimes that men, on the men's side anyway, can take a very long time to go through the ordination process. So I want to make it slightly more focused, more effective. I think that's a lot to do with having more private preceptors working and the teams becoming stronger. I'm very, very happy with how the teams are going. But I'd say that those are the main things. Yeah, getting that sense of slightly more intense, if that's a word, process for the guys. And also just making sure that they do have a very, you know, as full as possible experience of what tree wrapping is about. You know, though the situations, particularly in Spain and Mexico, are pretty well developed, they're nowhere near as well developed, obviously, as in the UK or in India or wherever. So we just have to keep working on that and making sure they've got enough links with the wider order. But I'm very happy with how it's going, and we've got some great, you know, great guys in the ordination process in all three countries. Very, very committed, dedicated to the Dharma and to wanting to participate fully in tree wrapping. So I feel very optimistic about it.
For you, Clemmy?
Yeah, in a way quite similar. I think the main thing for us is strengthening the ordination teams, the people helping, the order members helping mitras to prepare for ordination. And that would be having more private preceptors. So we do have Sadhakara from Valencia, who's currently in the process of consultation to become a private preceptor. And there are a couple of women in Mexico who are now over 10, Niana Dakini and Daya Chandra, and a couple who will be 10 in the next few years. So, you know, I'm really hopeful that within, say, 5 years, we'll have a stronger core of private preceptors and we'll have a lot more Dharmacharinis. There's a lot of women really doing well at the moment in, well, both places. We're hopeful that in the next while we might be able to have some more ordinations, both in Mexico and in Spain, but it's all still very much in the air at the moment. But definitely having Paramachitta join the college as a public preceptor will make a big difference. And yeah, training. I'd like also how to train private preceptors, because you know, we've been talking quite a lot in this college meeting about the need for both private and particularly public preceptors to have a really good training, not in just Dharma study, but in the whole of our ethos as a community. And I guess the further away from, both geographically and in time, people are from kind of, say, the founding of the order and a period where most of us lived and worked together, the further away we get from that, the more important it is that the training really is, you know, opening people up to what a tree ratna culture is and the really, really crucial elements of that. And that's something that we need to think about, how we do that in the Spanish-speaking world. You know, it wouldn't be as easy, say, as people come here and live here for 3 or 6 months if they don't have a good level of English, as well as all the economic kind of constraints. Mexico at the moment is undergoing quite an economic crisis. The peso was devalued earlier this year. And that makes quite a big difference, say, to people being able to travel to the UK. It's massively expensive. And for people going up to the USA in terms of doing retreats, say, with the American, North American Sangha in America, it's quite hard for some of the Mexicans to get permission to go into America if they don't have good jobs and, you know, because Americans are nervous that they're going to jump the ship and stay there kind of thing. So, you know, there are constraints, economic and practical. But I think there's a lot of people with a lot of willingness and really, I mean, people really love bounty. That's one of the things that I think, certainly in the women's side, it's very noticeable that there's quite a strong devotional element in Mexico in particular, I'd say. Well, in Spain as well, that people have a lot of gratitude towards Tree Ratna for what we're doing. And at the same time, we need to be really stringent and thorough in how we make sure people really get what Tree Ratna is. Mokshananda's looking at his watch.
So. Great. Okay. Well, maybe that's time to wind up. Thanks very much for sharing your thoughts. Wish you both all the best for your work in Spanish speaking world. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Gracias.